Morning, everyone. Excuse me. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this beautiful, though cold, Sunday morning. We're glad to have all of you with us. Let's see, a couple of announcements. Bible study is still going to be at 5 this Wednesday. I had told the people who were there last week that with Lynette's uncle, we're not sure what his situation is. I wasn't sure whether we would have Bible study because I wasn't sure whether we would have to go up to Ohio for his funeral. As of today, Bible study is still on. It's at 5 o'clock on Wednesday night. We are in the book of 2 Peter, so everyone is invited to join us. We also have a new Facebook group, not page, but group. And we're going to be doing online Bible study through it so that people can participate and things like that. So if you look up Rockwood UMC Online Church, that's how you can find it. You'll have to send a request because it's a private group. But you can come in. Yes, sweetheart.
I love you.
I love you too.
Feeling good today.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me know that. We'll pray for her when the time comes. All right. Had to get the news from the, you know, our roving reporter here. And that's really the only announcements that I have at the moment. It's this time of year is a very quiet time of year naturally. And of course, with everything going on, it's even quieter. So, with that in mind, let me wrangle the rodeo clown here, and we will begin with the chiming of the hour. As you're able, please stand for our first hymnal, or first hymn, sorry. Number 452, if you happen to have a United Methodist book there in front of you for the people at home. My faith looks up to thee. We will sing all of the verses. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881, if you have a United Methodist hymnal in front of you. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. And I come with a few prayer requests. If you will, please pray for Mary Jolly and her family. Her mother-in-law passed away this past week. And so they're dealing with, you know, the after effects of those things, the grief and plannings and all that kind of stuff. So I know she would appreciate your prayers during this difficult time. Also pray for Beth. She's up in Virginia with her son and daughter-in-law, with hers, Mike's. And how is your daughter-in-law doing, Mike? Okay. So Beth is staying up there to help take care of the new grandbaby and everything like that while they try to figure out what's going on health-wise with their daughter-in-law. So keep them in your prayers, if you will. I know they would appreciate it. Also, if you will, keep Jane, who goes to Chevron, in your prayers. She is out of the hospital. I mentioned to you all that she had had a stroke or something like it, and she's out of the hospital, but she's still weak. And so if you will, keep her in your prayers. I know she would appreciate it. And also, there's a lady who takes care of Linda, who goes to Chevron, takes care of her mother. And this morning, they had to take her to the hospital, not her mother, but the lady that takes care of her mother. She was having trouble breathing and all, and so Linda wasn't able to be at church this morning. And they don't know what, they said they thought she might be having a heart attack, but they just weren't sure. So, if you will, please keep them in your prayers. And then, of course, continue to pray for Lynette's Uncle Eddie and Aunt Charlene. Eddie is in hospice care, but it's just sort of a day-by-day kind of thing. So just continue to pray for the family, if you will. I think that's all that was given to me this week. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Yes. That's right. Thank you for reminding me. Judy, excuse me. Judy and Frank, who of course clean the church and are Christy's mother and father, Judy tested positive for COVID, so she and Frank are self-quarantining for the next little bit. So keep them in your prayers for healing. And I haven't heard that Frank got it. As far as I know, he doesn't have it, but just continue to pray for them for continued healing during this time. Also, Wanda did go to the doctor on Wednesday, but she never told me what happened. She told me she was going to tell me on Wednesday, so I see she's watching now, so we'll chide her and tell her that she forgot, or I'll probably be embarrassed and find out she told me and I forgot. That's probably what happened. But nevertheless, just continue to pray for Wanda. I know that her knee's been bothering her and everything, so keep her in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any prayer requests? I'm pretty sure you don't have a prayer request, Liliana. What do you want to say? What do you want to tell us? I love you too. That's better than a prayer request. I'll take that. Does anyone else have any prayer requests they would like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we come to you today with many prayer requests for healing, for guidance, for comfort. We pray that you would be with all of those who are sick or who are dealing with sickness in their lives, for those who have lost loved ones, for those, Lord, who feel alone and lonely, who feel isolated, especially in these times. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would guide them and strengthen them, and that you would send others to them to help them through difficult times. Lord, we also want to pray for our country. This week, of course, has been very strange for us. I hate to say the word unprecedented because that seems to be the word everybody likes to use, but it is in many ways unprecedented. And so, Lord, we pray that peace would reign in the hearts and souls of all of us. We pray that you would be with our country, with our leaders, and also with the leaders of countries all over the world. Lord, may you be with your church, that we might do the work of building the kingdom of Christ on earth as it is in heaven, remembering that the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, we ask that you would remind us worship is about you and not about us. And guided by the Spirit, we pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 400. If you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal, please stand as we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and we are going to sing all of the verses. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we want to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder, as always, if you would like to give your tithe or offering, there's a basket here at this door and one going into the narthex that you can put your money in. You can also give online on our Facebook page and in our Facebook group. We've put a link in there too. And you can also mail it in. The mailbox is secure. Or you can see if you happen to see mine or Wanda's car hanging around. And if you do, you can bring it in to us. I would tell you to call Terry and let you in, but she always leaves her keys at the house. So just don't call Terry if you need to get into the... Do you have them this morning, Terry? Oh, hey, yay! I'll tell you, I don't know what I'd do if Terry wasn't here. I'd have to find somebody else to pick on, so... At this time, though, let us say a prayer over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to give back of the many blessings that you give us. May we be reminded as always that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. You know, I don't know if y'all noticed, but people are kind of angry. Well, people are kind of angry and upset, and I think scared too. A lot of times anger manifests when it's really underlying things like fear. Because anger is easy, right? It's a lot easier to be loud and obnoxious and violent than it is to say, "I'm scared," or "I'm worried," or "I'm sad." And a lot of times people will use this and say, "Anger's bad, anger's wrong," you know. But that's not really biblical. The Bible says that anger is an emotion like every other emotion. It's just a little more difficult to control at times. Jesus himself says, "Be angry, but don't let your anger cause you to sin," right? Jesus got angry. I don't know if y'all noticed reading through the Gospels. There's a couple times Jesus got a little upset. The most famous time, of course, being when he flipped over the tables and ran the money changers out of the temple with the whip. So whenever people talk about gentle Jesus, meek and mild, yeah, But there were times when he was wrathful Jesus, angry, and violent. As Christians, there's this kind of tension that we have. It's this tension between faith and works, between doing and praying. And it's a difficult tension. That's why it's called a tension, right? Tension isn't supposed to be easy. And James muddies the water a little bit more because he says that if you don't do stuff and you just pray about it, you might as well just not prayed about it. But then Paul says that doing things doesn't save you. And so some people have read and said, they can't even agree amongst themselves. See, look, the Bible has all these contradictions. No. Paul wrote first and he said, your works don't save you. So what a lot of people do is they say, works don't save me. That means I don't have to do anything. And James says, no. Your faith makes you do works. That's how it works. You have faith, and so you do works because of your faith, right? And so there's this tension in Christianity. When do I pray? When do I work? When do I do both? When I don't want to say you do neither because you should always pray, but when can I let go and let God, to use a phrase? We all probably watched, or at least heard about, the things that happened at the Capitol this week. And as is the case with things like this, everybody is blaming everybody else. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's this person's fault. It's this thing's fault. It's whatever. People want to fight. People want to argue and complain and even get violent. I just read yesterday that as the stories kind of come together, there were some people that were looking for Mike Pence because they were planning on capturing him and executing him. For what? I mean, really and truly, for what? People are passionate. People are angry. I really think people are scared. For those of you who don't know, many years ago, I earned my yellow belt in Taekwondo. That's right. That means that I can kick and punch people. And that's about it, because a yellow belt is just one step up from a white belt. I didn't get to finish because my sensei moved, and I couldn't find another person who was teaching the style that I had learned. And if you don't know, Taekwondo has two different types. There's basically like competitive Taekwondo. It's the kind they do at the Olympics. And it's very fanciful. It's very impressive. They do lots of amazing feats, martial arts feats. And then there's combat Taekwondo, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's Taekwondo made to defend yourself and others. And I took combat Taekwondo. And unfortunately, Taekwondo is more popular as an Olympic sport exhibition type thing, so it's hard to find. So I quit taking it. But while I was taking it, one of the things that I remember from it was that we were taught never fight angry. Never fight angry. Why is that? Why do you never fight angry? Well, has anybody gotten really angry before? Anybody in here gotten, I mean, just mad, angry? What happens? Your vision starts to tunnel. Maybe it starts to blur. Maybe it starts to change colors. You know, some people say they see red and things like that. Your breathing gets really labored. Your mind doesn't even, it doesn't know what it's doing, really. You go into extreme fight or flight is what happens. How many people have you ever heard that say, you know, they've done something and they say, I don't even remember doing it. I was so angry that it's like I wasn't in control of my own body. We were taught never fight angry. How do you not fight angry? You train your body. It's the reason that special forces, when they're not on a mission, what are they doing? They're training. Because when it's time to act, your body does what it's supposed to do without your conscious brain necessarily messing up the works. When you get angry, you make mistakes. When you get angry, you say things and you do things you probably didn't mean, or at least you didn't mean to say the way you said them. When you get angry, you lose credibility. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, this section that we read, which is one of the most famous sections of Scripture and, of course, of Ephesians, he says, hey, listen, we're in a fight. And we have to protect ourselves in a fight, right? You have to protect yourself in a fight. If you just go into a fight like a, you know, maniac, waving your arms and all this kind of stuff, you're probably not going to last in the fight very long. So Paul says, we're in a fight. And he tells you to put on your armor. And he tells you these different pieces of the armor. And he says, you know, these are what these different pieces do. The belt of truth protects your most intimate parts, right? When we think of a belt, we think of just a belt. But the belt, in this sense, is more of a, I don't even know. You guys have seen Roman Spartan outfits, right? Or not Roman Spartan, but Centurion, Roman Centurion outfits. That little skirt thing. That's the belt. And it protects the most intimate part of the human being. So Paul is saying truth protects the most important things. If you don't have truth around you, the most vulnerable aspects of you are open to attack. The next most vulnerable part of your body is right in here, right? A lot of major organs are hanging out here. Yeah, you got your brain up here. It's pretty important, but your brain's got a, you know, a skull. It can withstand a little bit of trauma. But somebody hit you in the torso. You got lungs and heart and all those things. So you put on righteousness. Righteousness will protect you. The gospel of peace will help you to stand firm. The shield of faith will protect you from flaming arrows. So on and so on. But what's more important than even all of that is, what does Paul say? He says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against evil, darkness, wickedness, apathy. One of the things that is difficult for us as human beings is to figure out what's really going on. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're strolling around Walmart, right? You're looking for stuff, you're shopping, whatever it may be. And you're kind of not paying attention, right? You're looking around and you accidentally run your cart into somebody else's cart, right? Well, sometimes people go, oh, shoot, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and haha, that's funny. But sometimes you get that person who you would have thought that you ran over their mother or something, you know? They're just nasty and mean, and you might get feeling a little nasty and mean too, and but have you ever stopped and thought, why is that person so mad? It's not like anybody got hurt. It was just, we bumped carts. I wasn't paying attention, But people get so mad. It's because there's something that you can't see. Maybe something that they can't even fully identify. That's wearing them down. That's worrying them. And you were the easy target. If Georgia and I happen to get into a car accident, and I'm just having a really, really rough time, maybe I lost my job, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my kids because I don't have a job and it's hard to find a job in this economy. And I think to myself, at least I got my car because, you know, if I can get a job, I'll be able to drive to it. And if we lose housing, at least we can live in the car for a little bit or, you know, that kind of thing. I got all these things going on and then, bam, here we go. We hit cars and I don't know what's going on with my car. I don't know how bad the damage is. But all I know is that it's George's fault, right? Get out of my car, and I can't believe, and, you know, it starts sounding like an episode of Jerry Springer and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not mad at Georgia. I'm scared. Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to take care of my children. And I don't know if they're going to be taken away from me. And I've been so stressed, I can't remember if I paid my insurance. And then I might get to thinking, man, when is my driver's license due for renewal? I hope it's not out of date. Or maybe it is because I couldn't afford to renew it, but I couldn't afford not to work. All these things are going on. Now, I'm cussing Georgia. Now, if Georgia starts cussing me back, then guess what? We got us a good fight on our hands. We're both justified in it. But what if Georgia says, are you okay? I'm really sorry. Man, I didn't even see you coming. Are you okay? Is everything okay? It might just make me madder. Sometimes it'll make people madder because then they feel bad because they're mad and you're not. You know, that happens. But a lot of times it'll make people calm down because they realize they didn't get into an accident with you on purpose. They're not against you. They don't even know you. This is why Paul tells us we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight what is manipulating flesh and blood. We fight insecurities. We fight evil. We fight, yes, demonic and spiritual powers, but we also fight poverty, self-image issues, self-worth issues, self-esteem issues. We fight loneliness. We fight prejudice. The beautiful thing about Christianity above all other religions, and I say this with utmost respect for other religions because they all teach beautiful things. Some of them don't teach great things as well, but they all teach beautiful things. But the one thing that makes Christianity unique is this. Christianity says at the end of the day, Jesus loved me just as much as he loved you. And because of that, I can call you brother or sister. See, Christianity levels the playing field. Christianity says, no matter who you are or what you do, my war isn't with you. It's with what's manipulating you. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. There's all kinds of nonsense going on in the world, but guess what? There always has been. We just get to see about it and hear about it a lot more often. But you know what else that means? It means that we have more opportunities than ever to fight against the evil that manipulates our world. So I encourage you, a kind word turns away wrath. Be kind. Be loving. Don't back down from a fight. But remember who you're fighting. It's not the person in front of you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to fight against the enemy. Against the darkness, against the negative things in this world. Knowing that Christ is victor over all things, great and small. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.